If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're going to just walk through some scriptures, kind of do a scriptural lineup about the value of God's Word into our life, about the preciousness of Scripture and how it can speak to our life. What if everyone decided to abide and apply God's Word into their life? If we just began to take the Bible for truth into our life, what would the world be like? If everyone that's here, if everyone that's listening through TV, we just want to welcome everyone that's joined us through TV and the web. Church, why don't we clap our hands for everyone that's with us? Thanks so much for being with us. It's an honor at Healing Place to have you with us today. What if everyone decided to believe the Word? Just a scriptural lineup. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says this: all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we think about the Bible, the tone is set for us in 2 Timothy that all Scripture is God-breathed. That means God-inspired. Healing Place, the Bible is not a collection of stories or just myths or fables or merely human ideas about God. It is actually God-inspired. It is breathed by the Holy Spirit, and it is God's message for people. It is God's message for people. It says that it is God-breathed, that God inspired it. God breathed it into the disciples and into the prophets and into the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the Old Testament. And so God breathed it to us so that we can have direction into our life. And the Bible says that it is all inspired. It is all breathed. God has breathed it to us today. I love how when you realize that God is speaking to us and that God is available, that God has made himself known. We know that he is made known through Christ, but we also know that he is made known through the Word of God. He is made known through the Holy Spirit. God is making himself known. God is a talking God. God is a God that wants to have relationship. God is a God that wants you to know who he is, what he's all about. He's a God that has given us his message. And right there in that Bible is the message of God. See, when we realize that God's Word is inspired, it's God-breathed, do you know what it becomes then? It will become our safeguard for life, and it will become our source for living. See, he's wanting to be your safeguard so that you actually have a rule of measurement about what is truth and what is authority and what is absolute. So it's God-inspired. So God says, I'm going to give you a way where you can have a safeguard against all the other voices and all the other things that are going on. And not only will it be a safeguard, it will be a source for you. And it can help you through life. God's Word. What if everyone decided to believe the Bible? Second scripture in the lineup is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this: for the Word of God is living and is active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So the Bible tells us that not only is the Bible our safeguard and it's our source because it came from God, it's God's message to us. The Bible is active and it is living. It is not just merely theory. It is actually truth, and it can change our life. It's life-changing words that can shape our life. So not only does it safeguard as our source, it can help shape us. The Bible says that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It is sharp. I know just recently we bought us a new set of knives. We had some other knives, but I don't think they were that nice and nice. But we bought some nice ones. And boom, we pulled them out of the bag. Those things were so sharp. Whoo! I mean, I started cutting things and just started, and I was looking for something to cut. I was like, let's fix some more food. It was just cutting. I was shaping it with my knife. Just felt kind of like Emerald. Bam! I mean, I was feeling strong. It was so sharp. I mean, I could just get right in there, just carving out something. Do you know the Word of God is so sharp, it's so active, it can get right into the crevices of our life. It can get right down into the very detail of what's going on over. If we'll spend time in it, I was spending some time this morning in Psalms. It's amazing as I just kind of quieted my heart and just got down and started reading it. It's amazing how I just sensed that it was like laser focused on a few items in my life. It's precise. And it will be precise with the things that are going on. Third scripture in our lineup, and I love this. It's in Job. It says, my feet have closely followed his steps. Job chapter 23, verse 11. I have kept to his way. I have kept to his way without turning aside. How often does it say in Proverbs, listen to my commands and do not turn aside from them? Over and over again, it says in Proverbs, listen to my instructions, follow my precepts, obey my words. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but follow hard after my words, close to my words. And it also says it will be strength to your feet. It will secure your paths. It'll be a light. It'll be a lamp. And here is Job saying, when I have treasured your words and I have not turned aside to them and I've not departed from the commandments of your lips. Look what verse 12 says. I have treasured your words of his mouth more than my daily bread. See, not only is it a safeguard, not only is the word of God our source, not only can it shape us. Do you know what I have found out? The word of God is your spiritual nourishment. It'll nourish you in your life. It's bread and it's milk to our soul. I thought about this. There are more Bibles in print today than any other time before. But yet millions are plagued with spiritual anorexia, starving to death from spiritual malnutrition. What if everyone decided to feed on the Word of God? I have never walked by a piece of chicken and it overtake me. Never once. I've never been by a Chinese buffet and it just all of a sudden just rush me. Tackle me. I've never had a filet tackle me and trip me up. And just take over my whole. Just I've never had that happen before. You know, I've had to choose. I've had to choose. Do you know your Bible will not crawl off of its shelf and come lay itself on top of your head and just all of a sudden spiritually download into your life? It doesn't work that way. I used to have one that I carried in my pocket. I can carry it in my pocket every day. The question is, do I carry it in my heart? The only thing it's going to do is rub a place in your pants pocket if you don't let it get in you. The word has got to get in you. It does us no good. I talked to somebody today and they were telling me, I counted the other day, I had 32 Bibles in my house. I thought, man, that's incredible. I heard somebody say, I know the Bible from cover to cover. I believe every word from cover to cover, yet they never read it, maybe. So it's one thing to believe it from cover to cover. It's another thing to read it from cover to cover. See, it has to be something we feed on if it's going to make a difference in our life. What if everyone decided that I'm going to feed on the Word of God this year? And then the last scriptures in John chapter 8, just in the scriptural lineup. This is a cool scripture. A lot of people have gathered around Jesus and they're trying to figure out what makes one free. And why would someone walk in freedom? And how could someone walk in freedom? And what would be the requirements of walking in freedom in someone's life? And so they come up with some thoughts. Well, because of their spiritual pedigree, that's the reason why we can walk in freedom. And because who they're related to, that's one of the reasons they think they can walk in freedom. And because they have a religious resume, well, that's got to be the reason why I can walk in freedom. And you know what's interesting? Jesus says none of those create freedom in one's life. But he does tell him what brings freedom. He says in John chapter 8 verse 31. To the Jews who believed in him. He said, if you hold to my teaching. then you're really my disciples. You know what a disciple means? A disciple is a learner of Christ. It's someone that wants to live in the classroom of the Holy Spirit. It's someone that wants to be enrolled in the school of Christ. And he said the reason and the cause and the way that you can become a learner of Christ is when you begin to hold grip to my teaching, my words. Then he gives a result and a promise that's attached to it. Look at verse 32. It's a great promise scripture. It says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus out of his own mouth says that my teaching, that the teachings of Christ, they are truth. They are absolute truth. They are preeminent truth. And when you know that truth, it will set you free. Jesus said, it is truth that can transform your life. It is active. It is sharp. It is alive. It is nourishment. And it can transform your life. I heard somebody say this one time and it stuck with me. That the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. If there's a desire or just this faint interest in our lives to be more like Christ, maybe in the next season of our life, maybe we look in our home and in all honesty, we would say, we need more of Jesus in the way that my wife and I talk to each other. We need more of Christ in this whole raising kids thing. I want more of Christ in my future. I want more of Christ in the workplace. If there's a desire for more of him, then I believe it's true. I believe the more we know the Word of God that's inspired by the Spirit of God, I believe it gives us a good opportunity to become more like the Son of God. And it's a decision we can make. Do you know there are some decisions that we need to make right now? Right now, right now. Not every decision is for tomorrow. Can I have an amen? Now, I love decisions that are tomorrow decisions. Oh, we're going to do that tomorrow. I like tomorrow's decisions because I can do whatever I want today. But there are some decisions we need to make right now. Can I give you three decisions that every single one of us can make right this minute? Right now. Turn to your neighbor and say, right now. Turn to the other person and say, right now. We can make these decisions right now. Here's the first decision. Accept the Bible as life's authority. Accept the Bible as life's authority. It's the authority of my life. The Bible is my compass for living. My compass for living. Not my suggestion for living, but my compass for living. Can I be honest with you? Many a trouble in our life is because we choose to base too much of life on unreliable authority. I'll give you an example. Well, everybody else is doing it. Let me tell you something. Just because Uncle Bob did it doesn't mean you need to do it. Sometimes Uncle Bob ain't got no sense. It's not good to base our life on everyone else is doing it. That's not reliable. I'll give you another example. Well, I've always done it that way. That's not a reliable thought. It's a new season. It's a new day. Life is fluid. It's always changing. How about this one? Well, I sort of felt it. Do you know how unreliable our feelings are? There's some days my feelings really like Dino. And my feelings are, go Dino. Dino, you're a pretty good guy. I like you. Some days my feelings are crazy about Dino, like my wife is. But then there's some days that my feelings are based on what other people think about Dino. And then there's some days that my feelings are based on not liking Dino. Do you know if you live your life based on your feelings, you will drive yourself crazy? Because your feelings at times are unreliable. Sometimes you don't feel that way. Other people don't feel that way. You can't live your life based on how other people define you. It's not reliable. And then what about the unreliable authority of, well, I just couldn't help myself. I base everything on I couldn't help myself. I'm happy when I do it. That is, all of those have flaws in them. Let's everyone make a decision to believe God's word from now on as the ultimate authority. Just think what would happen in our life if before we leaped into something, we would stop and put it on pause and say, what does the Bible have to say? If we just paused for a moment, before we made a decision, before we entered into a business situation, before we connected with a partner of something, if before we moved in this direction, if we just pause, just freeze frame it, and just thought, what does the Bible have to say about this? Because I would bet that the Bible probably has something to say about it. It probably, this morning I was reading in Genesis about Abraham and Sarah and Lot and his wife. And it talks about how when they left Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, that the angel of the Lord told Lot's wife, don't look back. And wouldn't you know it, when she got up on the hill and she heard all the things behind her, guess what she did? She looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. As I sat there on my couch this morning, do you know what? In that moment, the word of God became alive. And I just chose to believe the authority. And you know what God spoke to my heart? Don't look back, Dino. Right there in that moment. Don't look back. Believe that your best days are ahead of you. Believe that you'll find me in your future. Don't define your life by your past. What was happening? I was choosing to believe the scripture. And it spoke right to a season of my own life. D.L. Moody said this. The Bible was not given for just the mere increase of knowledge, but to change one's very life. And you know what? It can change your life. Let me tell you the second decision that every single person can make. You can decide to read it and receive it. See, we can decide to accept the Bible as life's number one authority. The second decision is decide to read it and receive it. To read it and receive it. I started thinking about that. Many Christians are more faithful to their newspapers, magazines, blogs, and books and reports than they are their Bibles. You can't watch TV for 5 hours and read your Bible for 5 minutes and expect angels to roost in your front yard. It's not going to happen. Did you know that if you read your Bible for 15 to 20 minutes a day, you would read it through in a whole year? If you took 30 minutes and read the scripture in the morning, you would read your Bible through twice in a year. That's why we gave you a great gift, probably one of the best gifts we've ever distributed as a church, as a gift to read your Bible through in a year. It's an online resource now. And then after you read it, you know what you decide to do? You decide that you're going to read it and receive it. See, reading the Word of God will help you stay in range to receive the voice of God. When you begin to read scripture, I believe it puts you in the range of God's voice. When I was growing up, I used to go out in the neighborhood. Do y'all remember that way back in the day when you could actually roam the neighborhood? Do y'all remember that's kind of extinct now? It's like it's kind of no longer, you're able to do that. I mean, today if your children get to the end of the driveway, you're calling the police. I mean, it's just a crazy world. I remember when my mother used to lock me out of the house and tell me, don't come home. I remember one time that she was cleaning the house. She locked me out of the house and made me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, put it on the back stoop and said, there's some water in the spigot. I'll see you when the sun goes down. Kick me out the house. Don't come back. And just go all over the neighborhood. Just roam the neighborhood and just go out. But my daddy would always tell me, son, I'd say, well, how far can I go? He'd say, you go as far, but if you don't hear my whistle, stay in the range of my whistle. Because he would whistle and you would have to hear his whistle. He'd tell me, if I whistle and you don't come, then you're going to hear the whistle of the belt. My dad was Italian. He enjoyed a good spanking. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, I had to stay in the range of his whistle. Because if I got out of range of that, and when he whistled, if I didn't hear him, and if I didn't get back when I was supposed to, and if I didn't obey that whistle, then I'd get myself in trouble. Can I tell you, I believe that God is whistling today. And you know what? When we read the Word of God, It helps us stay in the range of God's voice. And he will speak to us out of his word about the situation or the temptation or the problem that we're facing. God's word is alive. What if everyone decided this year, I'm going to read it and I'm going to receive it? What would our world look like? What would our parenting look like? What would our marriage look like? What would our business look like? What would our decisions look like? What would our day look like? If everyone decided, I'll read it and receive it. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my words. If you decided to love him more and obey him, love me, obey me, love me, obey me, love me, obey me. The third decision that every single one of us can make today, and I'll finish with this, is you and I can decide to apply God's word in our life. See, truth is not truth unless it comes into application for our very own life. I can't live off of your truth. I can appreciate it. I can value it. I can be blessed by it. But someone else's truth will not nourish me. I've got to apply truth. I can stand by a treadmill all day long and it's not going to help me. I mean, I could get by people that are in shape, but I don't get in shape. I was with somebody the other day and they had just done an Ironman. Swam, wah! Got through swimming, got on a bike. Got done with a bike jogger. I mean, they went like 100 miles. And I was standing by them. I'm not an Iron Man. There was not like some transporting Iron Man on me. I could eat their food. I still wouldn't be an Iron Man. I'd have to apply the principles. What if everyone decided that this year I'm going to read the word. I'm going to then apply the word into my life. What would it look like? The world that we live in. Because when you apply the word, that's when it gets fun. James says, why would you just want to be a hearer of the word when you can be a doer of the word? See, when you start implementing what you learn, no longer will you just be in the range of God's voice. It will then become surround sound to you. And in your life, you'll sense the word of God. You'll hear the word of God. You'll walk in the word of God. And you'll just know it. The word of God will give you a peace. And it will surround you. And you'll know what to do. I have discovered that the devil does not want that, my friend. The devil does not want you and I deciding that the word of God is going to be amplified. I'm going to turn the volume up. Because see, all around us, there's all the noise from everything else. And you know what? A lot of times the word of God is on mute. But everything else is being turned up and being defeat and busyness and offense and pain and unforgiveness and being negative and cynical. It's being turned up and the volume's being cranked up on all those areas and the word of God is on mute. When God says, oh, no, no, let my words be amplified and let it become surround sound in your life. And I'll direct you. You know the story. Jesus is led into the wilderness. And it says that he fasts for 40 days. A 40-day fast. And he's in the wilderness. He's in the desert. It's hot during the day. It's cold at night. He's alone. He's not eaten. He's famished. I mean, you could imagine what he has been through for 40 days alone. And they're in that state of weakness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 that Satan appears and begins to tempt the Son of God. And he brings one temptation. Then he brings another temptation. And then he brings a third temptation. And there is Jesus. He's not eaten. He's weak. He's overwhelmed. All these things are going on. But what does Jesus do as Satan tempts him? The Bible says that as Satan throws those temptations at Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus says, It is written. It is written. He depends on the word of God. He pulls out that double-edged sword and begins to duel with the enemy. And right there says, it is written. And the Bible says that Satan goes away from him. He didn't give in to the power and the possessions and the lust and the temporary appetites. Because the word of God was surround sound. And even in that tough wilderness, you know what? He heard the word of God. This is God's message to you. This is God's love letter to you. I don't know if you've ever written a love letter. Remember back in the day, you write a few love letters. Could you imagine, just think with me for a moment. Could you imagine writing a love letter and you put your whole heart into it? I mean, you give it your all. I mean, you lay it on the line. You pour out your heart. You're authentic. You tell your deepest secrets. You speak about everything and you put it together and it's signed, sealed, and delivered. And you lay it there for your loved one to see it. And they get up and they see it and they walk by it. And later on you say, did you see my love letter? And they say, yeah, I saw it. Did you read it? No, I walked by it. I'll read it later. How would that make your heart feel? And then the next day, the same thing, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Wouldn't eventually say, why haven't you read the secrets and the love of my heart for you? Can I tell you, this is God's love letter? Signed, sealed, and delivered with the blood of Jesus. It's got a message for you. You ought to take some time and find out what it says to you. It could change your life.